This morning I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, as we continue working our way through this letter, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 6 of chapter 4. Before we turn our attention to God's word this morning, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn our attention to your word, it's our prayer that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, this time of year we have education on our minds. Our college students are heading back to school, and next week more of the Dort students will make their way back. Our elementary and high school students are counting down the days, and mom and dad are thinking about school schedules and the bittersweet end of summer when the kids head back to school. We also have Sunday school and midweek activities that will begin pretty soon. It's the beginning of another year of education. It's the beginning of a new year of education at church and at home and at school. And this morning, as we look at 1 John chapter 5, we are considering what we are learning and who we are learning it from. What we are learning and who we are learning it from. John tells us, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Jesus said, you're going to know a tree. You will know a tree by its fruit. And we've seen this throughout John's letter as he's picked up this theme, that you will know a true, genuine Christian by their love, by their practice of righteousness. We've seen that in chapter 3, verse 10. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Chapter 4, verse 8 also includes that love, or chapter 3, verse 8, that love that is the evidence of us abiding in Christ. And so up to this point, John has pointed to these moral features, this love, this action. What you do shows who you are. If you love and you practice righteousness, living in a way that is pleasing to God, that shows that you are born of God and that you are a child of God. That's what John has been doing up to this point. And this morning, he switches gears slightly. This morning, it's not about how you live and your actions, the fruit of your faith, but rather, fundamentally, it's about your faith. It's about what you believe. So we're going from this moral test to see if you are a genuine Christian, this is what you do, to a theological and doctrinal test, this is what you believe. What we believe and what we do. Orthodoxy and orthopraxy. John has just connected the commandment to love one another with the commandment to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles open, he did that in chapter 3, verse 23. And this is the commandment that we believe, so there it's our faith, in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And what's the expression of that? Morally loving one another just as he has commanded and keeping his commandments. So you have not only what you believe, but also what you do. And now in our passage this morning, he's taking it a step further as he explains what we believe and how we need to be discerning in what we believe and what we accept as true. We test the spirits to see if they are from God or not. And verse 2 goes on to say, because every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, every spirit that is in line with the gospel and the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that spirit we know is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And that's our theme this morning as we look at this passage, first confessing and then listening. First of all, confessing. The first test is not so much about what you are confessing, but about what they are confessing. And when John is talking about they, he's talking about the false prophets who are of the world and speaking what the world wants to hear and the world listening to them. He says, do not believe every spirit. And here when he's talking about spirits, he's talking about teachings. Every teaching, the confession of the one who is doing the teaching. Who is this teacher full of? Because they're saying they're full of the Holy Spirit when reality, they're not full of the Holy Spirit, but it's another spirit. And so here we also see the reality that the Holy Spirit is not the only spirit who is active within the world. And here we're being told how to tell if a spirit comes from God or not. And the test is their confession. Now, the very fact that John has to explain this in his letter points to the reality that those reading this letter originally were accepting teachings that they heard without being discerning, without being intentional about what they believe or not believe, without asking, is this from God? Is this of the truth, or is it of the world, from the Antichrist? Now, this is important for us to hear this morning. This time of year, our college students are heading back to school. Our elementary and high school students are gearing up for another year. Sunday school, midweek activities, it's all going to start pretty soon. And at the beginning of this education year, as we begin a new year of education at church, at home, at school, it's the perfect timing for us to hear this command. Be discerning. Don't just believe everything you hear. Ask yourself, is this true or not? Is this from God or not? Does it confess Christ or not? It's important for us to think about teaching, the teaching that we receive, what we are hearing, what we are believing. What is the source? Because every spirit, every teaching that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit, every teaching that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, the one who is against Christ. And once again, as we're looking at John, there's no neutral territory here. It's one or the other. It is either from God or against God, from the Antichrist. When it comes to what you are hearing, what you are learning, is it confessing, upholding, honoring Jesus Christ? Him coming in the flesh for our salvation, the gospel message, or not? Is it confessing Jesus Christ, or is it Antichrist? And we aren't given a third neutral option here. Well, you know, I like to go with the third option, the neutral. By this you know the Spirit of God. Option one, we have then in verse 2. Option one, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Option two, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Well, some might say, I go with option three. I'm neutral. I'm neither for God or against God. I like to think of education and teaching as a neutral realm. Well, people of God, this is not an option. Because if teaching is not confessing that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, the only other option is that it is not from God. The neutral option is the Antichrist option. Now look at what John is doing here. He has just given us the command to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 23, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then he follows that command with a warning telling us what not to believe. Don't believe every spirit. Ask yourself the question, do they confess Christ or not? Now, John has done this before, hasn't he? He's done this before in chapter 2 when he told us to love our brothers and sisters. Chapter 2, verse 10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light and in him. And then that command to love was followed with the warning, do not love the world and everything in the world. That's 2 verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So he gives you this command to love your brother and your sister. And then he clarifies it with a warning and a command. Do not love the world. And once again, he's doing that here. Here we are told to believe in Christ. And the warning and the command that follows is don't believe every spirit. And so the result is that as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are discerning and we are selective when it comes to our love, loving our brothers and our sisters and not loving the world or anything in the world or of the world. And we are selective and discerning when it comes to what we believe, believing in Christ and not believing every spirit. And in verse 5, John's going to go on to describe how those spirits are of the world, from the world, and the world likes to listen to them. Now, the reason that this test is so important, the reason why it's so crucial for us to be discerning and not naively taking everything in and believing gullibly what we hear, is because of all the false prophets, verse 1, who have gone out into the world. And all of the spirits of the Antichrist who are now in the world already, verse 3. That's the reality. And that's why we're asking ourselves, is this from God or not? Are they confessing Christ in the flesh or not? That's what brings us from their confession to who we are listening to. Secondly, listen. Who are you listening to is the question. In verses 4 through 6, John turns his attention away from the teachers and their confession or lack thereof, and focuses the attention now on you. He says, little children, here's his term of endearment, little children, who are you listening to? You are from God and have overcome them. When John is talking about them, he's talking about the false prophets, the spirits of the Antichrist. You have overcome them, for he who is in you, Christ who is in you, is greater than he, Antichrist, who is in the world. And so John's giving us encouragement here in verse 4. He's just thrown out Antichrist and our guard is up, but he's reassuring and encouraging us with the fact that little children, you are children of God. You are from God. This is who you are. Reminding us once again, this is who you are. You have overcome them because you are in Christ and he has conquered them. The victory is yours. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And I want you to notice how this isn't just coming to us individually, but rather it's coming to us corporately. In our English translations here, they don't really differentiate between the singular and the plural you. What do I mean? We often read this phrase, verse 4, you are from God. And he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And when we hear that, that you are from God, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, we hear that as if it's talking to us. And it is talking to us individually. But John here is talking about you all. If we were in the South, we'd say y'all. And so we're all included in this. He who is in all of you is greater than he who is in the world. John's speaking to all of us as God's children. All of you. Reminding us that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Being a child of God. Being from God. Changes the way we look at life. This means that being a Christian not only changes our church life, but it also changes the way that we live from day to day. It changes our interactions with those around us as we're striving to love one another. It changes the decisions that we make. It even changes our perspective, the way we look at life. Being a Christian changes everything we do and how we do it. Being a Christian and having a Christian perspective or worldview also shapes the way that we teach and even learn what we believe, what we take in, and what we don't. Who we listen to. Our faith shapes our academics. It shapes what is taught, what is learned, and how things are interpreted. As God's children. The fact that we have overcome the Antichrist in Jesus Christ. The fact that we have victory in Jesus Christ over those who are against Christ. The fact that we have been redeemed, that Christ has come in the flesh for us. That we are part of that much larger story of redemption. Part of abiding in the one who is greater than he who is in the world. That changes everything. That changes how we look at the events of history. That influences how we understand scientific discoveries. It shapes our understanding of why we are here. What's our greatest problem and the solution? And every other aspect of life as well. What a blessing it is to have a place, a school to send our children where the goal is teaching them from a Christ-centered perspective. But that doesn't mean all of a sudden we can let our guard, oh, it's a Christian school, I don't have to filter. No! John is still, God's word is still giving us the command to be discerning, to test the spirits. This is part of the reason that as a church we devote such a great deal of time and energy to Christian education. Not just on Sundays and throughout the week here, but in addition the church comes alongside parents with the Christian school, supporting, sacrificing, and giving. We made our Christian fund goal for this past year. Praise the Lord. But why is this such a big deal? Why is this sacrifice so important? Because every spirit, every teaching that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Who are you listening to? Whoever knows God listens to us, John says, and the us there is the apostles. The apostles who are bringing the gospel that Christ has become man in the flesh for your salvation. Whoever knows God listens to us, who are proclaiming the good news of salvation in Christ alone. So what are the voices of the world clamoring for our attention? Demanding that we listen to them. God's word, the truth, is telling us not to believe every spirit, but to test the spirits to see if they are from God. Christians are not to believe everything they hear, every teaching they encounter. People of God, don't be gullible, don't be naive. Only believe the teaching that comes from God. And how do you know if a teaching comes from God or not? We are told to discern, to test. And the situation that John is addressing here is two teachers, two false prophets who are coming, and they're both claiming to be Christians. They're both claiming to be full of the Spirit. Both claim to be teaching what God says. This isn't a self-proclaimed atheist or unbeliever on the one hand versus a Christian on the other. This is someone who says they are Christian. A false prophet. Someone who teaches at the Christian college, a Christian school, or is speaking on a Christian radio station or TV program or magazine or book that you find in the Christian bookstore, etc. How do you know? By this you know, verse 2. By this we know, verse 6. How do you know that what they are saying is true or not? If it is from God or from the Antichrist, if it is against or anti-God, against Christ. Here's the danger. False teachings, false teachers, heresies. They never advertise themselves as false teachers or heretics. Well, good morning, class. This morning I'm going to be presenting to you a lesson that is false. It's of the world and directly goes against Christ and his incarnation. You could describe my teaching as of the Antichrist. No one's ever going to say that to you. No one's ever going to make that announcement. A professor, a teacher, a preacher, an author is never going to say that. And that is why it is up to you to discern and to run the test. Anytime we hear a sermon, read a book, hear a speaker, go to that conference or class, we can't just automatically believe everything this person tells us because we assume that they know more than we do and that they're telling the truth. Because what they are saying may in fact be wrong. The filter must always be on. We are always thinking through and processing what we are hearing, what we are learning in light of God's word by the power of the Spirit of truth. So how do you know? How do you test the spirits, the teachings, to see if they are from God or from the many false prophets in the world? Here's the test, verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Do they believe that Jesus became man? That he took on human flesh? The fundamental doctrine, truth of the incarnation, the foundation of Christianity, the truth that without it, we don't have Christianity. I believe in Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, Apostles' Creed, confession of faith. And at this point, you might be sitting there thinking, well, how could someone call themselves a Christian and deny the incarnation of Christ? Deny that Jesus became man for our salvation. I mean, this is foundational to Christianity. Without it, you don't have Christianity. And you'd be right if that's what you're thinking. And that's why we have this warning against these false teachings. It has become trendy, popular in our generation, this generation, for those who claim to be Christian in name to question biblical truth. To question the Holy Spirit of truth, inspired Word of God. They don't think that Scripture is completely true. And once this happens, saying that we can't be certain of certain biblical truths, then the truths of God's Word are up for grabs. And the first one which seems to go is Christ coming in the flesh, His incarnation. We see that with Rob Bell in his book, Velvet Elvis. Here a supposed Christian in name only asks some provocative and insinuating questions without giving any solid answers one way or the other, just sowing seeds of doubt. Here's what he says. What if Jesus had an earthly father named Larry? What if the virgin birth was thrown in to appeal to the followers of the Mithra and Dionysian religious cults? What if the word for virgin referred to a woman who had become pregnant for the first time? Could a person still love God? Could you still be a Christian? If Jesus had an earthly father named Larry, is the way of Jesus still the best possible way to live? Basically, he's asking, is the incarnation of Jesus Christ that big of a deal? He was the pastor of a huge church in Granville, Michigan. He wrote Christian books. He put out the Christian Numa videos watched by youth groups all over. He was so cool. He was so trendy. He was so thought-provoking and antichrist. Now, is that a harsh judgment? Well, what does God's word say? Rob Bell is a false teacher, a false prophet, the spirit of the Antichrist, from the world, speaking from the world and telling the world what it wants to hear. Because any spirit that denies the incarnation of Jesus is the spirit of the Antichrist. What are you learning? Who are you learning it from? Any teaching that denies the incarnation of Christ is heresy, antichrist, from the world, of the world, for the world. Even if and even when they describe themselves as Christian, and their book is sold at the Christian bookstore, or their teaching is at a Christian school, or they're preaching at a supposed Christian church, you are being told as God's children to be discerning, to test according to God's word and the spirit of truth. So as we begin this year of learning and education, as our college students make their way to school and make their way here, as we get ready for classes and studies to begin, and every aspect of our lives of learning, the command that we are given this morning is to be discerning. Test every teaching according to God's word. Ask that question, is this from God? Is this confessing Jesus Christ in the flesh, the gospel, or not? Because in doing so, we are being discerning and intentional in what we believe. Our faith in Jesus Christ, in the flesh, and how we live. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we know that we are in a world that is filled with false prophets that have gone into the world. We know that the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirits that are against you, against Christ, have gone out. But Lord, we also know that we are your children, that we are from you, and that you who are in us is greater than he who is in the world. It's our prayer, Lord, that in the year of education ahead and beyond, that we will be discerning, that we will discern the teachings and the spirits that we hear, discerning if they are from you or not, and that we will grow in our faith in Jesus Christ and in our desire to live our lives for you. Lord, hear our prayer, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.